Hi, this is What You Say in English, Season 3, Episode 30.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of What You Say in English, the podcast in which I listen to you and give you my professional feedback. I'm your host, Frank. It's funny because I almost never say my name, and it's funny because I just assume that people know who I am, and I almost never use my name. But of course, I mean, I have to give it to the platforms, the different places where you can get hold of my podcast. You can literally, you can see my name under the podcast. But anyway, here I am, I'm Frank, and today we're diving into a topic that's very close to my heart, and I believe incredibly important for all of us who are in this journey of mastering the English language. We're going to talk about confidence, or rather, the lack of it. When speaking English, especially with native speakers, this is an issue that many English learners grapple with. That's a nice expression, by the way, grapple. It's to have difficulties with something. Many English learners grapple with it. And it's something that we need to address head on. I've heard from many of you about your struggles with this issue, and not only in my classes or the people that I meet when they discover that I have this podcast or now that I have my TikTok channel. I've heard from many of you about your struggles, and I would like to share some stories that really stood out to me. I've heard the story of people here in Spain, for example. There's one student, let's call her Maria. She's been living in the UK for over a year now, and she told me once that every time she opens her mouth to speak English, she feels like she's under a microscope, with every word and every grammar mistake being scrutinized. This has made her feel so self-conscious that she often chooses to stay silent, and even when she has something important to say. Of course, at work is difficult, and she has found it easier to find jobs, for example, where there are other people from other parts of the world, because she feels more accepted. When it's a working environment, for example, in which there are a lot of native speakers in the UK, she finds that people don't treat her the way they treat other people. Also, I've heard the story of Hiroshi from Japan, who is studying in the United States. He shared that he often feels left out in group discussions because he's afraid his accent or grammar mistakes will make him the subject of ridicule. This fear has led him to avoid social situations where he might have to speak English. And just recently, I received an email from Catalina. She's a PhD student from Chile who's currently studying in Vancouver. And she wrote, I'm going to read the message. Hi, Frank. I started to listen to your podcast and I found it fantastic. I'd like to improve my English as well. So I'm wondering if I could send you my audio or if we can have a meeting or interview to get some feedback. I've realized that I'm losing my confidence when I speak with native speakers of English because I think they're noticing all the mistakes that I'm making. So I need to remove that idea from my head and move forward. Thanks in advance. Cheers, Catalina. So Catalina, Maria, Hiroshi, and many others like them are dealing with a phenomenon that can be deeply discouraging and can hinder their progress in mastering English. It is a problem that needs our attention, and that's why we're dedicating this episode to it. So stay tuned as we delve deeper into this issue, understand its roots, and most importantly, discuss practical ways to overcome it and regain your confidence in speaking English. Let's dive in. In the previous segment, we introduced the topic of our discussion today, the lack of confidence many English learners experience when speaking, especially with native speakers. Now, let's delve deeper into understanding this problem. Have you ever felt a knot in your stomach when asked to speak in English, or perhaps a sudden nervousness when you're about to make a presentation in English. If you have, you're not alone. This is a phenomenon known as language anxiety or communication apprehension. It's a kind of fear or nervousness that learners of a second language often experience, particularly when they are required to use the language in communicative situations. One study conducted by Marian Amengual-Piza, a researcher at the University of Balearic Islands, explored this concept further. By the way, I will offer a link in the episode description so you can read it. She looked at foreign language anxiety, or FLA, among students learning English for specific purposes. She found that these students often experienced communication apprehension, fear of negative evaluation, and test anxiety. This anxiety can significantly affect the performance and progress of English language learners. It can lead to a decrease in motivation, a reluctance to participate in class, and even a lower overall proficiency in the language. There are several factors that contribute to language anxiety. These can include fear of making mistakes, fear of negative evaluation, lack of confidence in speaking, and high expectations from others. Interestingly, this anxiety isn't limited to non-native speakers. Even native speakers, and trust me on this, can experience this anxiety. And think about it yourself, in your own language. Do you feel confident when you talk in front of other people? Especially when you're in a situation when you're expected to speak perfectly, or when you're communicating with non-native speakers who have a high level of proficiency in English. For instance, a native English speaker might feel anxious, whether you believe it or not, when speaking to a non-native speaker who has a strong command of English grammar and vocabulary. So this can be like a superpower in your case. If you are a very proficient speaker of English, a lot of native speakers would feel intimidated. This can lead to a fear of making mistakes and being judged by the non-native speaker, especially when they specialize in language. Another factor that can contribute to language anxiety is linguistic racism or accent discrimination. This refers to the bias and prejudice that people may face based on their accent or the way they speak a language. This can lead to a loss of confidence and increased anxiety when speaking English. According to an article on the BBC, and of course, I will offer you the link so you can read the article, linguistic racism can be both overt and covert. Overt linguistic racism involves deliberate belittling or shaming, such as ethnic accent bullying that occurs despite someone's actual English proficiency. Covert linguistic racism, on the other hand, can be more subtle, like an unwitting social exclusion of people with foreign accented English, or a seemingly well-intended compliment toward an Asian American's English. People telling you, "You sound great. Where are you from? Oh my God, your English is good." These perceptions feed into linguistic racism, or racism based on accent, dialect, and speech patterns. These examples show that it may not be very obvious to the perpetrators what they're doing, because there are a number of subtle psychological mechanisms at play. Cognitively, it takes more work to understand a less familiar accent, and of course, people are just lazy. The extra brain power involved, as well as warmer feelings toward members of one's own group, can lead to negative attitudes towards a person speaking a different type of English. Overall, it's common to assume that non-native speakers are less truthful, less intelligent, and less competent. Psychology studies suggest that people attach less credibility to statements spoken in a foreign accent. Understanding these problems is the first step towards overcoming them. By recognizing the sources of their anxiety, learners can start understanding the problem. To illustrate the problem that has become of this accent discrimination, especially with non-native speakers of English, I have a segment from the British television show. It's a comedy show, Little Britain. The show ran from 2003 to 2005, and it's a comedy show with lots of characters. It's Matt Lucas and I can never remember the name of the other guy, David Walliams. He's also a guest judge in Got Talent, or Britain's Got Talent, I think. One of the many roles that he plays is Marjorie Dawes. and she's a character of this British sketch comedy. And she's the group leader of the local Fat Fighters, a weight loss support group. Marjorie is portrayed as being very harsh to the Fat Fighter members and often belittles them and humiliates them for being overweight. She's also known for being racist, homophobic, fattest. Despite her role as a weight loss instructor, Marjorie is overweight herself and is often seen trying to conceal her compulsive consumption of biscuits, crisps, and other junk food. One of the many things that she does is belittle people with a very difficult accent to understand. And this fragment that you're going to hear, it comes from one of the episodes that they did when the show moved to the U.S. HBO bought the rights in the U.S. and they did, I think they did a season or two seasons of the show with a reimagination of old characters and new characters for the seasons in the U.S. But Marjorie Dawes was kept the same, but in a branch of the Fat Fighters group. And in this, you can actually find this clip on YouTube in which she has Rosie O'Donnell paying a visit to the Fat Fighters branch in the U.S. And one of the people in the group is a Spanish speaker who speaks English. And she's very understandable. But of course, Marjorie belittles her, saying that she's completely impossible to understand. Take a listen.
Okay, right, let's think. Another question. Yes, my illegal friend, yes.
I often find I'm doing really good with my diet. And then I go on myself and buy a big bar of chocolate.
Yes.
Rosie, what's your weakness?
Well, couldn't understand a word. Sorry, Rosie, I should have warned you. She's Filipino.
Mexican.
Same thing, innit? Okay.
Of course, it's comedy. And in the years that Little Britain aired on television, was a very irreverent show. They didn't care much about political correctness. And I have to say, I truly enjoyed that because they were shamelessly denouncing these things. And they were showing the public the ugly face of our society, especially the British society. I always saw it as a strong commentary on the things that make up Britain. And I would say that by extension, the US. Of course, I loved it. I loved the show. And I loved how shamelessly they put it right there in front of people's faces. I laughed a lot and I still love the show. And I know that for a lot of people, it might seem a little offensive, but I think we need to see these things because these things happen. Of course, we're making fun of them, but I think that with humor, we can actually try to grapple with these situations. And even though it's fun, it's made for fun, it's a reality. Now, before I get started with the tips I could give you on how to gain confidence, I would like to talk about addressing linguistic racism. Linguistic racism, or accent discrimination, is a pervasive problem that affects both native and non-native speakers of English. Unfortunately, it happens a lot in Britain. People who have a non-standard accent, let's say from Scotland or Manchester or Liverpool. I wouldn't say now Birmingham because Peaky Blinders they made sure that the Brummy accent has become quite sexy, I have to say. But it's a form of bias and prejudice that people may face based on their accent or the way they speak a language. This can lead to a loss of confidence and increased anxiety when speaking English. As I said in the beginning, this can be overt and covert. And overt linguistic racism involves deliberate belittling or shaming, as I said that. And covert linguistic racism is a little more subtle, like, you know, segregating people or ostracizing people because they don't have the linguistic abilities of the local people where you live. It happens more in English-speaking countries. And for this reason, I'm going to play here in my podcast completely. I know it's going to take a few minutes, but I think you got to listen to this guy. His name is Hernan Diaz. He's a scholar and a novelist. He was born in Argentina. He grew up in Sweden and has spent most of his life in the United States. To some degree, he says, he has a foreign accent. I don't think he's got a foreign accent. I think he has an incredible accent in every language he speaks. Of course, you will listen to him in English. Diaz shares his humble opinion on accent discrimination and the hospitality at the heart of every language. Take a listen to this because it's an incredible message. And I want you, if there's only one thing I want you to take from today's episode, is what he has to say about accent discrimination. Take a listen.
I work at a university in New York with a large population of international students. Walking around campus the other day, I was perplexed to see flyers advertising accent reduction or even accent elimination. Having been born in Argentina, grown up in Sweden, and spent most of my life in the United States, I have to some degree a foreign accent in every language I speak. Something in my Spanish makes taxi drivers in Buenos Aires ask me where I'm from. In Swedish, my accent is very slight, but I have the vocabulary of a 12-year-old. In my early 20s, I lived in London for a couple of years, which left its mark. But the fact is, I got English almost as a gift through Swedish, and there is still a Scandinavian lilt in there. Does my accent need correcting? I don't think so. To sound like who exactly? A native speaker? What would that even mean? Looking at accent reduction classes online, the third hit I got was not aimed at Eastern European or South American immigrants. It actually read, "Want to get rid of your New York accent?" An accent can be a stigma, even within native speakers of the same language. These variations, determined by geography, class, and race, are always identified with stereotypes, and fleeing from one means embracing another. In England, a Russian writer may adopt an upper-crust British accent. In California, a Texan actor may aspire to a San Fernando Valley cadence. Even though everybody has an accent, there certainly is such a thing as accent discrimination. Most of us have either suffered or witnessed it at some point. I can easily tell when I'm not being understood or when someone is underscoring a difference in pronunciation just to show me my place. Because accent discrimination is, in the end, all about place. Who belongs and who doesn't. An accent is the echo of one language or tone in another. I, for one, enjoy these ghostly presences of something strange in a familiar environment. They are a reminder of the fact that language doesn't belong to anyone, not even to its native speakers. Language is shared. It is, in principle, a space where everyone is welcome and cooperates toward mutual comprehension. And the very fact that there are accents in the first place, the fact that we can still understand each other through all the differences, is the most conclusive proof of the hospitality at the heart of every language.
What a powerful message. Incredible. But unfortunately, as citizens, we can do so much. And then you ask yourself, how do we end linguistic discrimination and create a more inclusive, functional use of language to benefit native and non-native speakers alike? The only thing that I can think of is organizations need to be strategic about having ongoing conversations about linguistic diversity as a type of diversity, educating staff about how language-related biases affect communications and opportunities, and incorporating this into policies. But on an individual level, speakers of English as a first language can make their English more accessible. They can slow down and avoid inside jokes and idioms, for instance. They can talk less in meetings to give more space to non-native speakers, in my opinion, while also allowing non-native speakers to chair meetings and set the tone for communications. They can also pay attention to body language and improve their listening skills. For instance, by seeking out popular culture featuring varied groups of people and thus varied ways of communicating. With greater exposure, the brain becomes better at understanding differently accented speech. Overall, everyone can become more aware of language-related biases. Remember, language is a tool for communication, not a measure of intelligence or worth. I think that we should strive to create a more inclusive and respectful environment for all English speakers, regardless of their accent, dialect, or place of origin. So far we have discussed the problem, and now let's move on to see if we can find some solutions. How can you gain confidence in your English speaking ability? I can give you a few tips. I would say the first one is use positive self-talk. Believe it or not, the most important person you talk to every day is yourself. Your thoughts matter. So if you lack confidence as an English speaker, you may tell yourself things like, English is too hard and I will never improve. When you talk to other people, you may say things like, I'm so sorry for my English, but if you keep thinking and saying such things, you are sure to start believing them. So you have to use positive self-talk. Tell yourself things like, today I will learn this thing and tomorrow I will learn other things. The power of suggestion is incredible. And of course, if you belittle yourself, you will start believing all the crazy things that people probably don't think about you. So you got to make sure that you talk to yourself and you try to give confidence. Keep in mind that other people are too worried about themselves to really pay attention to other people. I know that it's very tempting to believe that everyone's looking at you, but trust me, a lot of people are just looking at themselves. The same things you're going through, it's exactly the same things that other people are going through. What we see in other people's faces might not be what they're really feeling inside. So start to worry less about what other people think and start to worry about how you see yourself and what things you tell yourself. The second tip I can give you is speak louder and slower. Speak loudly enough that anyone in the same room can easily hear you, and try to slow down your speech if you speak too fast. Many English learners worry that speaking too slow will make them sound inexperienced, but speaking too fast may cause more mistakes. So avoid worrying that you are speaking too slow for the people around you. I hate it when other people tell you, speak fast. Don't say, I'm going to. Say, I'm gonna. I hate those things because they happen in English. They happen in every language. When you speak to people from your local community, the people from your city, you obviously you're going to be using your expressions, the way you talk. You can feel free to speak faster if you want to, because you know that they will understand you. But other people from other regions may not be able to understand what you can say. So you have to become aware of other people's abilities to understand language. Quite honestly, I don't really encourage teaching connected speech unless it's really for listening skills. According to David Crystal, the guru of English language linguistics in general, there are 3 non-native speakers of English to every native speaker of English. And that means something. That means that more often than not, you will probably see yourself speaking to another non-native speaker of English, rather than to a native speaker of English, unless, of course, you move to an English-speaking country. In that case, of course, you want to be part of the community. You might probably want to acquire a little bit of the accent and try to understand the accent so you can easily live your life and experience the things that you want to experience. Of course, that's understandable. But if you live in your home country or you work in an international environment, you don't have to. You don't have to speak very quickly. The power of your enunciation and the way you speak will say lots of things about you. Another tip that I can give you is speak in full sentences. Speak in complete sentences and give longer responses when possible. Using complete sentences and giving more detail in responses shows listeners that you are not afraid to speak English. Another thing is read out loud. Believe it or not, it works wonders. Reading out loud can help build confidence in your own English sounds, the way you produce sounds. You don't have to worry about thinking what to say. you have to worry only about the sounds that you produce. So the next time you're reading a website, book, or something else that you enjoy, take a few minutes to read the material aloud. And if you can record yourself, better, because you can play it back and you can notice, for example, if you're doing a few things, you can detect the things that you do that you probably don't realize you're doing. Another thing that I tell my students is that once they record themselves, they listen to the recording back and then try to write down exactly what they were saying. And that way you will notice, for example, if you're making grammar mistakes. Another thing I can tell you is don't worry too much. One of the biggest barriers to confidence in speaking a second language is the constant worry about making mistakes. Understand that making mistakes is a natural part of language, and it's your learning process. Yes, you will make mistakes, but keep in mind that the purpose of speaking a language is to communicate, and many English learners communicate very well, even with mistakes. And finally, you have to set realistic goals. If your English speaking skills are at the beginner or intermediate level, and you try to do something too difficult, I'm afraid to tell you, but you will fail. This can harm your confidence a lot. It's like trying to beat a chess master only when you're a beginner. It doesn't make any sense. Or you're trying to perform a big jump if you haven't tried before. But if you do something that matches your level, you're more likely to do it well. As you learn English, it is natural to lack some of the skills you need to communicate well. Often, when we lack skills, we lack confidence. But remember that as your skills grow, your confidence will grow too. Remember, gaining confidence in your English speaking ability is a journey, not a destination. It's about progress, not perfection. So keep practicing, keep learning, and keep believing in yourself. I know you've got this. So we're nearing the end of today's episode, but I don't want to go before telling you a lot of things that you can still do and strategies you can adopt. First, practice makes perfect. The more you use English, the more comfortable you will become. So try to incorporate English into your daily life as much as possible. This could be through watching English movies or TV shows, reading English books or newspapers, or even listening to English music or podcasts, such as mine, of course. Second, don't be afraid to make mistakes. I know this sounds easy, but you have to learn how to deal with that. Mistakes are a natural part of the learning process. Instead of being embarrassed by them, view them as opportunities to learn and improve. Remember, every mistake you make brings you one step closer to fluency. Third, seek out opportunities to speak English. This could be through joining an English club or conversation group, taking part in English debates or discussions, or even volunteering for roles that require English speaking skills. Fourth, work on your pronunciation. Good pronunciation can greatly improve your confidence in speaking English. There are many resources available online that can help you improve your pronunciation. I would have to say that shadowing is a great practice. Some of my students, former students, have told me that they've done shadowing and their pronunciation has greatly improved. At least their intonation, which is part of the pronunciation. You don't know what shadowing is? It's very simple. You basically download a clip from YouTube or any source and you make pauses and you try to repeat what the other person said. Try to imitate the intonation, try to intonate the sounds that they produce as closely as possible. I understand that I'm telling you, be proud of your accent, be proud of your English, and that's fine. And I can understand also that you can face discrimination, and the only way, the only solution that you can see is try to adapt to the community. That's understandable, and I'm not against it. Remember that if you live in an environment in which everybody speaks English, a very particular type of English, the least you can do is try to adapt as much as possible. And of course, you can try to download or find friends that can help you, that can coach you. And this is actually my next point. Consider getting a language tutor or coach, an expert that can understand communication is important, and someone who can help you navigate the different sounds in the other language, especially in English. A tutor can provide you with personalized feedback and guidance, which can greatly accelerate your progress. Remember, improving your English skills is a journey. I said it, and I will say it again, it's not a destination. It takes time and effort, but I know that with persistence and dedication, you can achieve your goals. Look for role models, people from your own community who have become fluent English speakers. For my Spanish students, I always use Penelope Cruz, I use Javier Bardem, I've used, for Mexicans, for example, they can look up to Salma Hayek. She's an incredibly fluent speaker of English. Colombians could use Sofia Vergara. I know that a lot of people make fun of her, but I think she's got a great English. She's an incredibly intelligent woman, and she's become really fluent. Lastly, for example, in the episodes of America's Got Talent, I think it's America's Got Talent, she shows incredible proficiency in English. And I know that she was doing a comedic act with the comedy show Modern Family, but that was just part of an act. I know she's got a very specific way of pronouncing words, and her tone of voice is a little pitched, high-pitched, but she's an incredible speaker of English, and you can look up to her. She can be your role model. Don't use role models that don't even represent your culture. I think that finding people in your own community who are proficient speakers of English can help you become better speakers of English. And as I said before, I know you got this. So, Catalina, I know that I wrote back, by the way. I'm not sure if she's read my email, but you're more than welcome to speak in my show, and I will gladly have you here and give you feedback on your speaking skills. I'm sure you're a great speaker of English. You're a PhD student, girl. That's way more than the regular American person. And I think people just put Americans or British speakers in a pedestal that probably they don't deserve. Thank you very much. This has been a very cathartic episode for me. I've said a lot of things, and I hope it's been beneficial to you. Thank you very much for joining me this week. And until next week, bye-bye.